You're listening to Bit by Bit, January 29th, 2006. Hello and welcome. My name is Bob Sprankle, and this is Bit by Bit, a podcast by a teacher for teachers, talking and reflecting about the use of technology in instruction and the changing classroom environment in the 21st century. Well, we've got a really different format for today's show, real special show for you today, because today is a record conversation between myself and three other educators. One of the great things about podcasting is that you can capture these professional development, informal conversations that happen and share them with a larger audience. So today we have Leah Tondro and Dave Fournier, who drove down to my classroom last week from Gardner, Maine, that's right outside of Bangor, to ask me and Cheryl Oakes questions about starting up a podcast and blogging and things like that. And so I asked them if it would be okay to record for a podcast to help other people that might have questions and kind of kill two birds with one stone. And, you know, one thing that was really exciting is Leah is a first-year teacher who's already, you know, taking the plunge with getting podcasting and blogging into her second-grade classroom, which, you know, just amazes me. So it was really a wonderful visit, and I thank them for coming down. So as I said, Cheryl Oakes is with me, and we are talking about all kinds of things, and hopefully it'll be helpful to some people out there. My apologies, because I did miss part of the recording. You'll hear that at the beginning. And a couple things that we discuss in the podcast that may not make sense, but I'll catch up to date on things that are happening with the Room 208 podcast. One of the greatest things is that I have a junior high student who I had last year, James, is coming back every day and volunteering in my classroom for an hour. He gets out at 2 o'clock and he comes over to the elementary school until my class is dismissed at 3. And he is doing a lot of the recording and the editing now, which is just freeing me up in the evenings when I've had to do a lot of the editing. And also now I'm off able to work with the kids instead of sitting there recording. Also, students have really wanted to do the recording piece, and so there's a small group that has stayed in at recess to learn how to do that, and now we're having them record more too. The reason I haven't done this in the past is, you know, I can't take up a lot of that academic time for them to edit and record. I'd rather have them out there writing, but they are really doing a great job with it, and again, I can go off and work with people. So that's a pretty neat development. At one point, I listening to the tape today, I realized that I mentioned iWeb as I was talking about some software that is used. And iWeb, if you're not aware, is the new package from Apple that is pulling together its iLife suite with iPhoto, GarageBand, iMovie, and where you can quickly and easily publish a web page, a blog, podcast, photo cast. So I think this is really going to be a lot easier for a lot of educators, you know, and also quicker to get their web presence up there. Anyway, without further ado, I will take you to Room 208 with Leah, Dave, and Cheryl, and I hope you enjoy it.
Introduce ourselves, and
okay,
this might be the best part.
That's right.
You know.
Okay, so we've been recording for about 15 minutes with the recorder on pause, and I'm very embarrassed. I'm as red as the recording button right now. But we have some special guests for this show because they came down to learn from my expertise of how to start a recording. And we've been talking for about good stuff, too, for about, 15 minutes and not recording. So I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves yet again.
I'm Leah Tondro. I teach second grade in Garland, which is kind of ish near Bangor.
Bangor, Maine.
Right. And I'm Dave Fournier, the technology coordinator for the district. And I live in Dexter, which is home of the shoe. And I'm known as the computer guy for most of the district. So.
And this is Bob Sprankle, and I'm here with
Cheryl Oakes. I came back from sabbatical for this visit.
Off the mountain.
Off the mountain. Back to the classroom.
That's the same shtick we did the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys have been asking questions about podcasting and about blogging, and the reason we decided to record this is because, a lot of emails come and people asking these questions, and hopefully this will be one of those shows or half the show of helping everybody out. So you don't have to repeat any of the questions.
Well, I want a follow-up question.
Okay,
RSS feed.
RSS feed, good, okay.
What is it? It's taking the content, and is it just moving it to an iPod or an MP3 player? Is that all it is, or is it more than that?
Look at a blog first, and the way that blogs are powerful is that they send out to these aggregators that I've just published something. And the best way to explain this, to parents or community is, I'm going to steal what Dave Cormier said. He's got a great metaphor. We're used to surfing the web and going out and saying, I'm interested in this. Huh, this site might have it. And you're spending hours and hours looking and not finding anything. So your aggregator, which is just a piece of software that will collect this, Dave Cormier said it's like a newspaper boy.
Okay.
Instead of going to, Cheryl's site and saying, huh, did she publish anything that I'm interested in? I got to go all the way over there.
Right.
And then instead of going to your site and saying, did you publish anything I'm interested in? And going to your site and saying, instead I have an aggregator that's collecting all your sites and bringing it to me. And this gets real powerful when you go to places like Google or Feedster or Technorati is the biggest one for blogs, and you say, I'm looking for this, and it goes out and finds it all for you, and you can even set that up as an RSS feed to come to your aggregator. So right now I have a watch list for Cheryl Oakes. So if anybody writes about Cheryl Oakes, instead of me going to find it, I have a watch list that brings it to me and brings all that in. So what's great is, all this information is just unwieldy, and this is a way to harness it and train it.
They tried to call it push technology a few years ago. Like, it's pushing content back to the user. I remember something years ago about push content.
Yeah, I think that I've heard push and pull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of a push because pulling, you're going out and pulling it in.
Right.
And this is the opposite. This is saying, I want to get that, and
I've heard podcasts as like pull because you're saying I want this to come, so that it's kind of the same pulling RSS. So what happened was people realized we could put anything in this RSS code, and
I see.
And photos. I just downloaded a PDF the other day. That was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And podcasts.
Wow.
Video and
It's all going together.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. That's better.
They need to change the name. RSS is... They should call a newspaper boy. And Dave Cormier would make money on
it.
We had talked about music earlier and using GarageBand. I talked to some of your kids earlier, and they said that they were in the process of making some music. But how do you find good music to use on your podcast that you are allowed to use? I've seen some of your stuff on your site, but I've searched countless amount of minutes looking for music, and I have been very unsuccessful.
This initially was the most time-consuming thing to do.
I can
and
see
now,
why.
Now it's gotten a lot better, and that's thanks to PodSafe Music Network. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. So that is artists that say, here's my music, you can put it on a podcast, and give attribution to me. And when you use music from that site, you have to say in your podcast somewhere, some of today's music came from PodSafe Network.
Yeah.
And then link back in your blog to the link that they give you that goes to PodSafe Music Network for that band.
Okay.
And so that is really great because there's a lot of great music. But now, again, not all of it's appropriate.
Right.
So I go to instrumental first because I want it for background.
Right.
And I'd love my kids to pick all that up, but I can't let them go off and do that academic time. And also, there's things that they can't use. My dream, and I forget who I was just talking to this about, but imagine a high schools and middle schools somebody's got to create a site where students are providing all this music for
that
us.
That we use for our podcast.
Exactly. So that, you know, if anybody's listening out there and has the time, somebody's got to start this. Because, you know, and let people around the world, who is that woman that Dave Wehrlich just wrote about in his blog, and Janet Hill just mentioned her. I cannot think of her name now, but this is a woman who I believe works at a school for the blind, and they've started, it's called Rock My World, and I've got to contact her and get in touch with her because she's doing really exciting stuff. They start one track, and then they send it to another country and have them do it in GarageBand. So they lay down the drums, and then they send it off to another country who does something with it, and then another country. And I mean,
just keep passing it on.
Exactly. Wow. So really great stuff. So that's a good one. There's Internet Archive, which is a lot of Creative Commons. Do you know about Creative Commons?
Okay. Yes.
So, and again, that's very time-consuming to find it. And then, as I said, you know, curse or a blessing, GarageBand has these jingles now that are, you know, really nice bumpers between certain pieces because they're short. They have, you know, like they'll have a country one and there's a short, medium, long.
Yeah.
So you can kind of use the same themes throughout
in
a show.
Yeah.
But, you know, once people get a hold of that, the audience will get pretty sick of these. So, you know, we're going to want new stuff. So.
You were asking earlier about, you know, what I taught in the computer lab.
Yes.
And one day, I put everybody in Bob's class on GarageBand, and they were creating some music. And they said, oh, we could do this for our podcast.
Yeah.
So where Bob goes out and gets music from, you know, podcast safe music, I created my own thread for the beginning and the end of my podcast in GarageBand. I just got some drums and some instrumental, and, you know, it may be 20 seconds. That's it.
So
you can search for it, or you can create it, or you can have your kids create it.
And that's where we want to move along.
Is,
yeah, right. That's exactly what I did. Yeah.
Those are loops that you drag up. Right. And we want our, you know, we said that's a focus
when
for
I
this
come
trimester.
Back.
And then I have a MIDI, and I'm going to bring it home at, you know, I mean, in home. This is home. We're at school right now, so I'll bring it in and let them play with it. And, and I know Sage is ready to go. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's lunchtime stuff that we do, lunchtime recess. So,
So it can be little, or it can be huge time involved in it.
Yeah. I'm finding that it's big time. But you had mentioned that you were just saying that your kids will stay in from recess or give up some lunchtime to work on this.
Right, yeah. Well, I try to do something, you know, like technology and interesting. I offer that to people once a week. So we've done a photography club. Actually, last year was cartoons. It wasn't really technological. We did like a lunch cartoon group. And this year we've done a photo club. And then we just took a break from that, and now we've switched over because they want to learn how to edit. They're coming in for that. And then and so, you know, one day a week they want to give up
so
and
neat.
Do that.
Love it.
But, I mean, a lot of these, you know, this is what I keep thinking, a lot of these after-school programs, I mean, here it is, you know.
Yeah.
You just let them work on this. They'll be very busy, you know.
Well, how much time do you spend yourself, like either editing the podcasts or getting them ready or even with your blog, how much time do you spend outside of just like your normal day?
I don't know if I want to scare people. It's getting better all the time, as I'm going to say. You know, in the beginning of the year, it can take up to like 5 to 8 hours a week to edit and get the show done.
But that's because you're doing it all yourself.
Right.
That's what
and because I'm crazy and want it to sound a certain way. But it's definitely speeding up. And now with this middle school student doing that, you know, all I have to do is listen to the last mix. And, you know, I'm not even recording that, which is, you know, sometimes I got to go back and say, oh, we got to record that again. I've heard all the pieces. I just, you know, don't need to record it. So it's getting a lot faster. The new GarageBand is going to make it a lot faster.
And that'll be the whole process as opposed to just pieces of it.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, you get into the sink of it and certain things work. And even like the music, you know, I start to finally realize I could use the same piece of music, you know, or this could be the music for this section, you know.
Right.
So that helps.
And people identify with your music.
Yeah, so that's one thing my kids are always like, oh, they're sitting there like dancing to the music. Or they're
right.
Like, what's our music going to sound like? That's a big part of it.
Oh, that
too.
Is so great. Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, I got to say, I really enjoy it. You know, I mean, listening to, you know, I'll get home, you know, Friday night is when I do a lot of it. I'll be dead tired, you know, and then. You know, they start reading their stuff, and I'm right into it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very rewarding.
It is, and it's a great way to again assess their work. You know, and think about it. And then I play it. You know, the next day for my wife and child, and I hear it again. You know, so
And it gets the kids engaged. That's what I've seen.
Yeah,
they just love it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's it all about?
Right. How has your literacy program or your writing aspect of what you teach changed since you started podcasting?
The biggest change is when we're working in those small groups to write something like student news.
So do you do it in like buddies? Do they work with two or three people, or is it
usually? Yeah, some of the like the niche pieces they're usually paired up, or some people will work alone. Emily's writing corner, she just wants to do it alone, and she does it all. But the student news, which we started with a blog, so even without a podcast, this was happening with the blog. Mm-hmm. But they get into the small groups and, you know, are co-teaching, and it's really where the authentic, it's no longer direct instruction on, today we're going to do verb agreement. You know, I mean, I still do that, but, you know, I heard this yesterday at our workshop, that's going to one-third of the audience out there when we're just doing that, you know, at least they're hearing it, but then they are finding these mistakes in each other's writing, and I might say, remember what that's called? You know, I might name it, but they're finding it, and then we come together as a whole group, and the same thing happens again, and I'm just amazed at how much they catch of each other's, not in a vindictive way, you know, but really, like, they know they got to get it good, they got to get it published.
Right, because they're writing for a purpose.
Exactly.
They have someone that's listening.
And they'll say, you know, they'll catch things that I think, you know, in my head, I'll go, okay, there's an error, but that's really, we haven't done that yet, or that's sophisticated. And then they'll catch those things, and they may not know the name.
But that's part of being learners. Too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So their writing is getting a lot better. But then the juggle is to have that group time where they're really learning more from each other than I'm going to be able to do direct instruction-wise. Mm-hmm. And then balancing that with their independent writing. So, you know, we haven't had a regular show for since before Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's trying to pull back in the balance of they got to go out there and without the support and start doing this. So it is this, you know, back and forth.
Well, plus you had three snow days that impacted, critical time.
Yeah, that's hard.
We can do whatever we want, too. You know, it's like these past two shows are just about the 2015. And, you know, you could change it on a dime because the purpose is for them. You know, I mean, there's an audience, for sure. But the audience is very forgiving. You know, when we don't have a show a week, nobody's ever flamed us for that. You know? And, you know, I mean, I think people are amazed at how much they get done. And, you know, I think you can just say, all right, yeah, we have an audience, but we're not driven by that. And go with them. And again, you know, especially your second grade, you know, it can be off the cuff stuff too, you know, and we've even heard people say that they want more of that. And again, well, that's not our purpose. Our purpose is writing, but you know, we'll do some of that.
Right.
But they could you could just do a quick assessment. What did we learn in science this week and have them go right on.
Yeah.
So.
Can I switch gears again?
Yeah, definitely.
On the, do you guys have an internet release form that you give out to the parents and have everybody? Have you had any problems, parents, signing that? Have you had any parents that said no?
I'll let you take that too.
Just curious.
Hmm. We have two forms. One's the acceptable use policy.
Right.
And probably it was 6 or 7 years ago, I had a couple of folks who didn't want their students on the internet. Now it's just everybody signs that.
Okay.
The only thing that is particular, we have a form where you sign to have your student work published on the internet.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Also the newspaper and TV. So on that one, we specify, is it all right for your student work to be published on the internet? Yes, no. Is it all right for your student's photo to be published on the internet? Yes, no. And our blanket rule is we don't name students when they're on the when their photo is on the internet. And we try not to do face shots, a single person. We do, you know, large group.
Okay.
A lot of times you'll see photos where it's the back of the heads.
Okay. The reason I ask is because there's been talk about doing video podcasting, mm-hmm. and that can impact how that works too.
Right.
Because we were just getting into it ourselves. We don't have a whole lot of parents doing, you know, a whole lot of stuff we're putting on the web, but
yeah.
I want to.
It's bandwidth.
It's huge.
We have a lot of people who are still on dial-up.
Oh, us too.
And, yeah, especially.
You have to cater to that audience first.
Right.
I understand that. Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, that's the thing that we haven't talked about with video. I mean, I'm not I love video, but I'm not interested in doing that at this point. I'll never say never, but somebody broke down. I forget who it was. I think it was Scott Fletcher. Somebody came up with how much, you know, with a successful show, but even with something that our kids would have, how much it would cost to have the bandwidth for that video.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. But even having pictures, if you want to have a, like you talked about with the tracking and the picture that changes every few seconds, there's going to be some bandwidth issues there if you put one meg pictures versus small ones.
Right.
And if you do that, I don't know if that was part of the part that we recorded, but we talked about enhanced podcasts. The only way I know how to read those, I forgot to mention, is through iTunes.
Okay.
So if we do mm-hmm. that, we're going to actually, we would publish two of the same file, enhanced and one.
Okay. So one for your blog and one for
one that would just. iTunes. I don't even know how I'd totally do it yet, but I'd probably create a whole separate feed for enhanced mm-hmm. podcast just to go to iTunes.
Yep.
Okay.
So that could be an option for people who could do that.
Right.
I'm sure in the next few years that'll change, but
yeah. Okay. Exactly.
It seems to be just running at a fast rate right now.
Yeah. We talked about RSS earlier too, and that got cut off. But another thing that I wanted to tell you then was, as you're getting your RSS and you got your blog that creates the RSS address, a really good service is to go to FeedBurner and take. Let's say you have an address from your WordPress, and it's HTTP, you know, this whole long thing. Well, you take that and then create a new RSS feed from FeedBurner with that address. And the reason I would advise you to do that is if something changes, your server address changes, or you're going to now want to, you know, get an outside service or something, you don't have to go and tell everybody of your new address to get the feed. Your feed will still be the FeedBurner feed, and you can always change that. Plus, I have a free account there. Well, I mean, I have like four free accounts there, and it gives me stats on, some of the how many people are subscribed at least through. Yeah, okay. So it's really a great way to get that feedback too. FeedBurner.com, that is.
Okay.
I've got a list of addresses. Yeah.
You could provide the links for this show, Dan.
Say,
that would be great.
You do the links for us for this.
I'm planning on,
Would
you want to do?
Sure, I'll do links.
Okay, that's great. All right,
I'll put them together what I have.
You put up a page and we'll link to your page. That's great.
Well, I'm planning on doing my own kind of thing with this somewhat too for my district and also. We'll tie all this together with
this
you guys.
This is great. For us.
I mean, I'm trying to learn so I can teach others as well. So,
well, it's still new for us.
Yeah. It's still new. It's amazing how far it's.
I've only podcasted since December.
Okay.
Wow.
And you've podcasted since last
April.
How long have you been blogging?
Since last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you started.
We've always had a web page, but this is just far better.
What do you use for blog? What site or service do you use?
Well, like I said, I use that iBlog, and then I buy my own server space just so that I can get into it really easy. But I can't wait to switch out of that. It's great. It's a great piece of software. I don't want to trash iBlog. They got me to where I am. But when my computer was in the shop, three times in a row, I'm in trouble. But WordPress is all web-based, so I just go to my server and I'm not locked out. So that's one of the reasons. Yeah. And there's a lot more control with WordPress. There's a little bit of a learning curve with it, but it's getting easier. My advice is really to check out the iWeb.
Yeah.
That's just so easy.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Cool.
I have a classroom question that was, when I was in here earlier, I saw your kids just walking around with laptops and typing and that. Do they type things like their stories and whatnot, and is that what goes on your blog?
When they do their student news, I take their final, it's so time consuming, it usually takes us two periods to get the student news done. Mm-hmm. And then I take that and I type it verbatim, I'll change the spelling. And then I can use that later, too, for DOLs and, yeah. and give it back to that group to go and fix their spelling. And, you know, they're writing under pressure. I mean, they really have a sometimes it really looks like a newsroom in here. Friday afternoon, 2:30, you know. And, you know, we have really, there's been some shows where we just snuck it in, you know. And so, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go back with all the spelling, but then I can use it again later. So I'll tape that up because that's, you know, at this age, they're faster writing with their hand than typing. With the blogging, right now they're responding to the blog, and I want to pull in the laptops more so they're writing. They're not writing right on the blog. They're writing it in AppleWorks, and then we'll put
right,
it on
the blog. Right, because I noticed they were walking around with the jump drives, too. And right. Did they put them on the computer themselves, or your fifth grader did, I think it was?
Yeah, they know how to do that, too. I mean, they've done that.
And is that stuff you publish on your blog as well?
What they were putting on today is a response to Dave Warlick's blog, so they're going to respond to his blog.
Gotcha.
But then with the new blog that I set up, I want them typing right into the blog from there. So
how many laptops do you have here that you use? 4 or 5?
We have 2 floating labs, right?
Yeah, about 20, 25 laptops that are in the mobile lab.
So you haul those in here and pull out a bunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they were also just going in themselves. And
right. Another class had them. But okay. Usually a whole class isn't using it.
Right. So you get a couple.
Big borrow and steal.
I see.
Yeah. So that's great. And then we have, well, right now we have 6 computers.
But we have 2 in boxes.
four computers between this classroom and the other classroom. Okay. So that helps to.
Yeah.
We're looking at building a new school, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good and some bad, but the technology piece is one of the things I'd love to see.
Yeah.
Well,
cool.
I would like to
cover old ground now.
I would like to invite you, and you know, I've talked about this with a lot of people, but schedules get so busy. But you've come all the way here, so you know what would be neat too is like correspondence. You know,
that
and
would be
we did
really
a little
cool.
of that with shout outs with Mills Murphy in Texas.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it would be really neat to you send an audio file and they put it in their podcast and vice versa. You know, you know, especially being in the same state. You know, here's the southern or
it's
southern.
Yeah,
really.
That you're doing this in Maine too. I must add.
Why is that?
That I was able to come down.
Oh right,
see
right, exactly.
Right
yeah,
in Maine.
I know that's fantastic.
This is Maine,
yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is, you know, it's wild because, you know, we were with someone in Iowa the other day, and we could be doing, you know, we could be doing this virtually through eyesight and showing these stuff too. It's wild.
That's another thing I also want to try and do with our school, since we do not have a principal at our school. I want to try to get a communication going, set up some time just to communicate from our school over to our principal, maybe with something like this, eyesight or whatever we can.
Or imagine even if we did like reading buddies, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they're sitting here and they're reading to a group. I mean,
that's hard to even picture.
So we got to talk about that.
Yeah, because
so
my kids they really enjoy listening to what's going on down here because they're second grade, so it's neat to hear from high grade since we don't have that in our building.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
But we're hoping maybe to get the third grade teacher in Exeter School, which is the next building for these kids.
Right, to get either continue on with this or start something to where, because that was a concern. I had a parent night, was it last week?
Yeah.
Last week where I introduced, you know, this is podcasting, and this is our website, and this is what we're doing. And one of the parents was concerned, if they do it here, do they carry it on, or is it just after this year's over?
Here's what, I've heard the same thing. Here's what's going to happen. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but what's going to happen is these students who are the digital natives, they're going to demand it.
Right.
You know, they're going to go and make those changes. And so, you know, even
it's all student-driven.
It's going to be. It really is.
Well, I'm hoping on my end as a tech guy to be able to have some instructions and some packages maybe that would be so it's not a brand-new experience for the next person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can say, okay, here's what we've learned.
Yeah.
We'll set you up with equipment. And here's some strategies. And hopefully give them a leg up.
Maybe possibly even like a quick little video of this is how we're using
exactly.
it in
so,
our room.
Yeah, I could do that too. So
and start small.
And that's just it. Start small and work on
it. It will grow.
Be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I suggest that teachers that are really starting to get, I mean, you're ready. You're ready for podcasting.
Yeah.
But
I'm
like
trying.
When I'm talking to teachers that are kind of like, well, I want to get more of this in, I really think the way that we can get our biggest bang for the buck is blogging. And I think that is really going to get people comfortable with what's happening.
Okay.
And, you know, it's an open window where you can really share things and have that back and forth conversation.
So a blog would be a good way to introduce the whole concept.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can get a couple of blogs going.
There.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I like the commented, monitoring the comments.
Yeah.
As long as I think we have that piece,
yeah.
I think we have
that.
It golden. Yeah. Well,
definitely yeah. Do. Because, you know, even like spam from outside, I haven't gotten any on my kids' sites.
Yeah.
But bit by bit, like spam will come, and I hadn't had that closed off, and now I do, you know, just to look at it, because it's linked to my school page.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they all have that control at this point.
This is kind of a follow-up question, but after they're done in third and fourth grade here, do they continue podcasting in fifth grade, or
They've
how does it continue here?
You know, we started last year, and two of my students have parents that teach in the fifth grade over there. And they have started a blog in one of the classrooms, and we've talked about getting a middle school, after school kind of podcast thing going, and I need to go hunt them down to see where they're at with that. So they want to do it. I mean, you know, it's time. I mean,
well,
you know,
to be fair to them, they also moved.
Yeah, right.
They were in a school section that has been torn down and renovated, and in November they moved over to a new section in their building. So they were working out of boxes, I think they're probably ready by the end of this trimester. They'll be settled and, you know, ready to go.
To be fair to any teacher, I mean, it is the time. It's a time factor, and I think once those kids that have been doing it get up into high school and come back and do the work for us, we're going to be home free. You know,
plus the tools will get better.
GarageBand.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be in our shirt.
Yeah.
Have you seen that new jacket for the iPod?
Yeah.
Or the jeans, you can put the iPod right in your jeans. They got everything built in.
The iPod, you got like controls in your arm and. You know,
Daniel wanted that jacket.
Star Trek, here we come. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. It will be easier. Yeah. We have, we have that 2015 piece that kids are ready.
It was fun to listen to them.
I'm going to reflect about this on Bit by Bit at some point, but the themes that come up that surprises me is they are trying to find more time for work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they also believe that there's, you know, there's a lot of talk about ways to podcast or archive your work quickly, you know, so they see the need for that. But it was interesting that they want to get rid of, like, so much so that we're not distracted, even having to get up to get a piece of paper.
Yes, yes.
Right, every kid is going to have a laptop.
Right. But, you know, it's why you wouldn't
right
think that they're like, we need more time. They're saying the same thing. We need more time, you know.
Yeah.
That was wild.
It was.
They usually know more than we know they know.
Right.
Usually. That's cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions that we can, or any that any of the best of that we didn't record that got lost? In?
Probably none right now, but there'll probably be more coming.
Later.
After she has her list made.
Well, if any other educators are listening to this and want to drive all the way down, we could do a part two. It's so easy for us to do a show.
And hopefully we'll have a Northern Maine or Central Maine host site maybe in a couple of years. But.
That would be
6 months, hopefully. You'll have a host site. You'll be the expert.
Yeah.
6 months.
Yeah.
Trying. We're getting there.
You will.
It's great. Oh, man.
We're having fun, though, too. My kids are very excited. They just enjoy it.
That's great. That's great feedback for these guys, too, to hear. And they just, you know.
Really your kids are wonderful, too. They're very polite. They're very helpful.
The community in here is unbelievable. You walk in there all.
Hi, who are you? Nice to meet you.
They're running. You know, they're running the show, and I think you know, like watching them set up this equipment still amazes me.
It amazes me.
You know, and that's like to me that's the kind of stuff that I can't. You know, that drives me crazy to take time to set up the equipment. And
true.
To take time to set up the equipment and then not use the equipment.
Because you really have time to set it up.
Right. It doesn't faze them at all. And they can do it in 2 minutes. They're like a race car crew. You know, they just
it's true. Once they get practiced.
Yeah. I turn around.
Yep. Exactly.
And again, you know, we think about, like, this equipment. It's so expensive. And are you going to have your second graders still be able to do it? You know?
Oh, they take great care with
exactly.
it. They mean it's they have to use it. So they're going to treat it well. Yeah, I've seen that because we use a laptop in the room too, and they're always watch out for the laptop or be gentle. And mm-hmm. So
that's good because they're getting more of
them. Good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Stay in touch.
Invade your class. Yeah.
So send us your first, you know, podcast, blog,
sure.
everything. And then, the next thing is we got to create a blog between the two classes or whatever.
That
you know,
would be really
just, I mean, Henry and I have one next door, but, you know, it's just as easy to do it.
Yeah,
right? I'm sure they would like that.
So, yeah.
You know, like a writing thing. So,
right.
So
yeah, my kids wanted to know about your kids because they asked me to take some pictures,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
what.
Yeah.
What does it look like? What are they doing?
Yeah.
So.
Right, right.
I love that curiosity.
It's there.
Thank
you so much.
Thank
it's
you.
Thank
wonderful.
You. Thanks for coming. And we'll look forward to your show. Do they have a name?
Pressure's on.
Okay, I hope that helped people out there with some of the questions that they have. And as you heard mentioned, Dave says he's going to do the show notes for all the links for this show. So that I thank Dave for doing that. And as soon as he does that, I will post them here. And we will have another show up for you soon. We're going to have a little bit of different format that I'll explain in the next show. So until then, take care. This is Bob Sprankle with Bit by Bit. Mm-hmm.